This is Progressive Radio, a weekly conversation hosted by Matthew Rothschild, editor of The Progressive Magazine, a leading voice for peace and social justice. For more information about Progressive Radio or The Progressive Magazine, log on to our website at progressive.org.
I'm Matt Rothschild, and welcome to Progressive Radio, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. Today, it's a real pleasure to have in the studio with me a powerful voice in the spoken word movement, a human rights activist, and an innovative educator. His name is Mark Gonzalez. Mark Gonzalez, welcome to Progressive Radio.
Blessings. Thank you.
And blessings to you. Give me a little bit of information about your background. You grew up in Alaska. What was that like?
Cold, and not very many Mexicans up there, brown people as a whole. We like warmer climates normally. But actually, my family left Mexico in the early 20th century, 1910, fleeing the civil war that broke out, and ended up working a lot of the mines in the fields of Arizona and New Mexico and Colorado, ending up to Wyoming, and then into Washington when World War II broke out because of the internment of the Japanese who were working the fields in the Central Valley. And because they locked them all up, there was a need for new labor, which brought our family from Wyoming to the Yakima Indian Reservation. And then, like most families in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, you went wherever you could try to get a house and means to take care of your family, which took us up to Alaska, because my father helped build the Alaska pipeline. My uncle was already up there before it was a state. They were working the coal mines in the 50s.
And did you live your whole childhood there, or did you?
19 years. Wow. 19 years of time in the glacier state. And I managed to survive somehow. Beautiful summers, beautiful place. Although if you like much like city life, Alaska probably not your spot.
And where'd you go after that?
I lived 4.5 years in Colorado. Ironically, not knowing my family used to live in Colorado until I had spent 2 years there and ended up in a conversation with my Uncle Phil, who at a barbecue was like, you know, your abuelo, your grandfather used to live in Colorado, in Fort Collins, where I was at the time. And he was like, he lived in Greeley. He's like, they used to work the fields and then built the railroad there and in Kansas. And my grandfather's brother actually died building the railroad there in the 30s. So it was kind of like, oh, wow, kind of retracing a path.
And then you spent a lot of time in California.
10 years in Los Angeles, which I later found out that my dad used to live there. In 56, 57, had moved from Washington to Cali and actually only went back to Washington because he got drafted when they were still doing peacetime drafts around the Korean War. And so I ended up in L.A. and Long Beach and Watts and Echo Park and Crenshaw and Riverside, 909 area. And spent 10 years just building there, and Life in Lyrics is my home base, and going to different parts of the world, but that always been where I tried to lay my head at night.
Speaking with Mark Gonzalez, you're listening to Progressive Radio. I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor at The Progressive. How'd you get interested in being a spoken word performer?
I think for most artists, the reality is we have an experience, and whether it's tragedy or triumph, there's something inside us that needs to be shared. And there are many ways of sharing your voice, whether through art and graffiti and dance or music or cinema or photo or words. But some people want to do it as a means of look at me and look at how great I can do things, you know, and other people really are just trying to work through whatever's going on inside that they're not able to articulate or to find a way to speak and give voice to. And for me, it was a blend of the two. It was actually my mother committed suicide when I was 14. My father was trying to deal with that and the loss of, you know, his wife, who had suffered from clinical depression and chemical imbalance, and tried to raise his son. And me trying to make sense of this world as a brown male in this really white, literally white snow everywhere state, and trying to deal with the loss of my mother and trying to just find a way to give voice to all this angst and frustration and knowing there's a beauty inside too, and being like, how do I tell this? How do I make sense of my reality, and how do I project something else for myself? And that's really what began that writing process.
Mm-hmm. It must have been brutal losing your mom, though. How'd you deal with that?
Very harshly. And to me, that's why when people talk about street violence or people talk about pain, and I'm always like, you know what? We're all self-medicating. You know, across the world, you want to talk about addictions, whether you're talking about illegal drugs or legal drugs like liquor, you know, or Prozac or Novocaine, or if you look at shopping addictions or you look at the way our materialist and consumer society is oriented, it's all around just distractions, because we got so much we're trying to deal with inside of, I don't look this way, my body isn't shaped this way, my tongue doesn't sound like what they show me on TV, I don't walk like they tell me, I don't have this fancy degree, I don't have these numbers in my bank account. Everything always tells us what we're not. And so you find ways to try to either numb this feeling of I'm not right for this world, or you try to find a way to change the world. And for me, that's actually how I dealt with it, was like that beginning process of like, this feeling sucks and this is horrible. But I also know how many people have not lost a mother to their own hand, but to a bomb or to occupation or to landmines or to a gun or to poverty or to addictions. And it's like, we're all losing our mothers and our fathers and our children and our brothers and our sisters. And how can we stop this cycle?
Speaking with spoken word artist Mark Gonzalez, how do we stop this cycle?
If I had one answer for that, I think I'd already be sharing it everywhere. For me, it's to start the conversation with people, because it's not my role to tell someone what they need to do to solve and change the problems in their life. I think that's the problem, is that everybody has the idea of this is what you should do to change it. And to me, that's an imperialist attitude of I know what's better for your life than you do, instead of really handing people resources and saying, you know what do you want to transform about yourself, your society, and your situation? For me, it starts with shifting value. You know, the opposite of capitalism isn't the absence of an economy. It's redefining what we value. And how do we value not only resources, but really relationships, you know, in these days and times, and find those with one another.
Mark Gonzalez, it's a kind of a crazy time here in the United States. In the latter part of 2010, we have this wave of xenophobia that's just been washing over us. You have a spoken word poem called "The Letter to Cordoba Center on Behalf of a Former Slave." This is the so-called Ground Zero mosque that had such craziness in this country for months and months over the summer. It was the summer of this mosque controversy, which did not bring out the best in a lot of people in this country. The mayor of New York handled it pretty well, but other than that, there weren't a lot of people who did. If you don't mind sharing this, I think it would give us a flavor for your work, Mark Gonzalez.
Letter to Cordoba Center on behalf of a former slave, Prelude 1. The 3-century-old remains of 20,000 African men, women, children, former slaves were discovered after the cleanup of the World Trade Center collapse. 2. Between 20 and 30% of all stolen Africans brought to America as slaves were Muslim. 3. A letter on behalf of Cordoba Center by one such slave. Bismillah is an unspoken song on the tongue of the forgotten. Ever wonder where you will pray when your skin has abandoned you, or what religion is your skeleton? A note for Manhattan City residents and Mr. President. If cemeteries have zip codes, airmail this poem to my mother, courtesy of a masjid wings holding my father's tears. New York. Have you forgotten cities are built not by steel but bones? That breath is turquoise colored accessory of skeleton wearing mahogany skin is Friday prayer breast. Bed-Stuy bones have a project runway dream to run away from the projects Tired of being told the shade is out of season by men in midnight blue suits attempting to tie a two-thumb-thick bow tie noose around their neck. Strange fruit is back, the new and the old black, in time for spring seasons. Muslim again, the designs breathing, chest heaving, swinging from government branch limbs. Dear America, I interrupt your tea party with reminders of ancestral legacy that pick the very leaves you sip. They say 30% of all slaves stolen from Africa were Muslim, denied prayer on ships, lynched in mocked whips for the worshipping shots for Salat, slaves to the dollar, enslaving slaves of Allah. When you built the World Trade Center over our cemeteries, did Senegalese mothers hold drum circle protest at construction companies for the steel saliva you layered on our children's coffin? New York City, living pretty luxurious, brag how little skin they own that one can see their bones through ribcage, as if Prada fashion design mannequins after auction block melanin. In 2002, 20,000 African slaves were discovered underneath the catwalk modeling states of decay in the basement of today of what is called the World Trade Center. Slaves, models, both believe in God. One is tolerated for invoking the name in anorexia's reverse communion, practices Ramadan 365 days a year, stomach-lining sacrifice, offering to porcelain altars in city-subsidized stalls and clubs. Other is a child hiding and no one is seeking, holding song of Quran in decomposed lung for 3 centuries, the sum of Saladin's sons and daughters under 103 steel exhales, separated from the Ummah by a cracked twin tier, only homage to memory, street cipher, testimony, windmill, break, dance, spin cycle, 7 for circles never made around the Kaaba in Mecca, Cordoba. Thank you for daring to call a den in a den of lions illiterate to love. They call our cemetery ground zero. De facto nickname us in La Tierra negative, below the absence of value, America. Tell us in this space moment century as you stand over our grave that 20,000 spirits of Muslim Africans still do not have a right or a place to pray. New York, your building zones built homes over our bones. Must you again deny us in death the right you denied us in life? We deserve, after 3 centuries, to finally say, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Know our prayers end as they always do. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon all and to you. Sincerely signed, X, 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 1,000, 9,000, 19,995 more times.
Wow, that's Mark Gonzalez performing his letter to Cordoba Center on behalf of a former slave. What do you make of the craziness that surrounded this controversy? What's happening in this country that we have this anti-Muslim ignorance and extremism in this country?
Well, for me, I think it's really important to remember that what is happening now is not new. You know, the piece is really a reminder of, one, what the right we're denying certain people today are the rights we denied people 200 years ago, 300 years ago, 400 years, 500 years ago. And I think it's important to remember that, is that, one, we were not only denied a right to pray, we were denied a right to exist, a right to be human beings. Like our people, the indigenous people and the African people first brought to this continent, were property. You know, and we'd like to convince ourselves that we've come farther as a humanity and as a species. You know, we talk about races and ethnicities, and I'm like, really, let's just talk about us as a species. And we'd hope we could say that, okay, we really messed up as a species 500 years ago by completely saying that you have the same rights as this piece of wood. And that 500 years later, when we got internet and technology and cell phones and all these fancy things, that we can say, hey, we've progressed as a species. But apparently we haven't. For me, The craziness often goes down to a very much divide and conquer mentality of keep people who are frustrated and worried about feeding their family angry at someone else who's trying to feed their family, who may be from a different part of the world, and put them in a close proximity together, and then take away the resources so that they're yelling at each other rather than really talking about why is it that a small group of people have all these resources and ability to feed their families and we don't. And we end up sitting here arguing and trying to deny each other the very fundamental human rights and things that are necessary to human life.
And yet that distraction technique, which has been used so often, still seems to work a lot of the times.
If it works and people don't figure it out, keep on doing it. I mean, to me, these conversations, I love having them in the streets or with the young cats here or in other parts of the world. It's like, if I take $5 from your pocket and you don't call me on it, do you think I'll take $5 from you again? And they're like, hell yeah. You know, I was like, what if I take another $20 and you don't do anything? You know, what are you going to do next time? Take $20 again? Exactly. You know, I think the thing is we enable these cycles of violence to continue because we don't, one, provide alternatives, don't create or transform our situations, or we live in a very dependent and codependent society where we're very much reliant upon things coming to us. And so we react rather than really project a different vision for ourselves and our community and our future.
Mark Gonzalez, how do we start that transformation, though?
That transformation is already happening globally. Detroit, the Allied Media Conference, the World Social Forum that they just had, followed by the Hip Hop Congress, just a phenomenal three-week series that I was unable to attend. But just knowing that, that in this city, Grace Lee Boggs and Invincible and all these other phenomenal Detroit organizers always talk about Detroit is the model of what awaits a city that relies solely on industrialization and on large corporate economy. It's a complete economic downfall and crushing, and then a failure and a decrease in property taxes, an increase in street violence, a lack of proper support and resources for schools. But that happened 40, 50, 60 years ago. What is just starting to happen to many cities. And you're starting to see Detroit, they've been doing a shift in who will provide the solutions. Are we going to wait for a larger structure to give us, or do we start our small farms? Do we start small cooperatives like Wisconsin has a lot of? Do we start a different way of looking at education? And I think specifically when people talk about schools, the questions is really public charter versus public school versus private school. And there's really not a question of who has the right to define what is important knowledge and who has the right to share spaces and share information, and how do we decide what knowledge is valuable and how can we best pass on that knowledge with one another? Because certain forms of knowledge have always been dismissed and denied access into school systems.
Well, what kind of knowledge is that?
Well, for me, even just as a person of color, I can obviously say the history of my people as indigenous people, as Latino people, as a Muslim, that I haven't learned any of that, in conventional schools. Even in when you do incorporate it, it's still a teacher saying, this is what's important, and I will tell all of you, versus students coming from, let's say, migrant student backgrounds, or the children of migrant workers coming in and wanting to learn, don't need to sit in a school to be told that working in the fields is hard work. Because they're working it. It's the same thing. It's like people who go under the hood and are like, we're here to tell you that things are hard in the hood. They're like, well, I kind of know that, because I've lived this whole time. I don't need to know that my reality is really jacked up. What I need is some resources and some capability and some knowledge and some places to transform it, as well as a space what is really lacking from skills to deal with current and historical trauma, sexual violence, urban war, police violence, economic violence, and chemical imbalance. We really need to start saying this is a necessary space that we have to create in these schools to work through this trauma.
Speaking with Mark Gonzalez, I'm Matt Rothschild. You're listening to Progressive Radio. You got a master's in education. You're doing work in the schools with something called the alternative intervention model or models. Tell me about that.
Well, so AIM was actually in L.A. I support AIM. I'm no longer working with AIM. AIM is a Cali-based organization that was started by Layla Steinberg, who was Tupac's first manager, in which the reality was in the mid-'80s in the Bay Area is Pac was just a high schooler whose mother was addicted to crack, who used to be a Black Panther, who was having to raise himself. That his situation was similar to many young Black men and women and brown men and women in the Oakland area of we're forced to become adults when we're not, when we're barely even teenagers. And we are learning our information not from schools or from parents or from elders, but from popular culture. So what is our role in creating popular culture to inform people of our reality and have discussions upon that? And for me, that's that role of education, of that shift, is really starting to look at performers. You may not like what all performers have to say. I don't like what all performers have to say. But the reality is you learn from performance. You know, ask people what they remember about their childhood or their 10s, you know, first decade alive or their 20s. And chances are they're not going to tell you about this really dope biology lesson they had in school. They're going to tell you about a personal experience they had at a concert or in a movie theater or, you know, relationships being so like personal and intimate relationships being so defined by like music we play during those relationships. Yet somehow we completely omit cultural pedagogy and cultural education from our classrooms. And the reality is this concept called creative intellect. Is architects need imagination. I mean, how are you going to build a completely new building and structure if you don't imagine something different? How are you going to bring innovation into medicine if you're not imagining different ways of interacting with cells? And it's really this stripping of imagination that's been completely taken out of schools that is beneficial to all disciplines across the globe and necessary as a species and as a developing society. You know, specifically, even if you talk about developing economies, like creative economy of a cinema, of photography, of movies are necessary to the growth of any society. Yet we strip it completely from education.
Being stripped more and more every day with all this testing going on too at the youngest levels all the way up.
Yeah, and I mean the standardized tests for fourth graders are what the architects for prison uses projections for how many prisons to build in a society. If at the age of 10, your life has already been slated, you know, for whether or not you're going to spend time in a small cell. Like we use these words prisons, but to really break it down to say, you know, whether or not a 10-year-old, you're telling a 10-year-old, you are already predetermined to be in a 6-foot by 6-foot steel box that's only about 8 feet high where people will point guns at you every day for several years and then drop you back in society. That's what we tell you our future is going to be. We're telling 10-year-olds that. Mm-hmm. I mean, what does that say? Once again, it's like, what's that really say about us as a species?
The so-called prison track starts early in our schools. We only have about 5 minutes left, Mark Gonzalez, and I wanted to see whether you wanted to do another a spoken word for us. You had mentioned on the way in that you wanted to talk about Israel and the flotillas and its persecution of people who are trying to break the Gaza embargo.
Yeah, I always tell people 1848 is 1948, you know, that in Chicano culture, we very much always say we didn't cross the borders crossed us. Like our people have been here for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years and are just trying. Specifically, even if you talk about nowadays with what's going on in Mexico with the narco wars, is people are fleeing both as economic and political refugees trying to find safety. And then you have Palestine where you have an indigenous population being told you no longer get to live here. And if you do live here, you're not going to be a citizen of this country, which was one of the first things when I was in Palestine really stuck out to me was, wow, Palestinians have to enter Israel to get a job because their economy is completely demolished and they don't have their own nation state and they're denied rights. But when they enter Israel, they're not Israeli citizens, so they don't get minimum wage. So it's a way of creating a permanent undocumented class that you don't have to provide any rights to or economic like rights to, forget even land rights and water rights and labor rights. So in Gaza, with the blockade that happened on not too long ago, there was the slaughter of the Turkish citizens and one American citizens. And then just 2 days ago, there was the seizing of the Jewish boat of the anti-Zionist Jewish who were headed to Gaza in order to break the blockade and continually push. If Gaza is supposed to be sovereign, then why can't people come in? So just a poem for every flotilla. Last night, they were slaughtered as I slept. Their spines cracked under steel ravens carrying raptures of ruthlessness. This morning, there are no words like beauty, life, love, righteousness, dignity, only fear. We wonder why daughters grow up afraid of alleyways. Children shake at the midnight whispers of wind. Fathers wake at sounds of high-pitched whistles. It is painful to dream of flying when all those with wings have been shot at or shot down. These days, murderers walk out of courtrooms as easily as rapists do. Two. They murdered us. Destroyed the schools, bombed the grocery store, cast lead into the heads of children, and we bought a boat. Attempted to float ideas and AIDS through Israel's barbed wire blockade into Gaza's heart segregated from humanity, and they murdered us again. We will mourn, but not in silence. Three. Speak out. Speak loud in every tongue, bang on system like drum till rhythms other than war is found. Fly kites embroidered with prescriptions for the wounded like. Use newspaper as tourniquet, press slight below bullet wound to slow the gushing of blood to trickling flow. Tie. If paper tears, rip your shirt into strips of fabric. Do not sleep or you may not awake. Wake up, world. There is a two-part program for all allies of righteousness. A. Divest from death. B. Invest in life and loved ones. I woke this morning next to mine, eyes flooded open, it image of her butterfly beauty, a pleasure that will never be indulged by 19 souls again. Wounded knee warriors are welcoming them into the next world. Four. Dear friends, I am tired of burying you. Dear enemies and misguided allies, why do you look to the sea when you are digging your own grave beneath your feet? All First Nations live by the simplest of treaties. Treat me as you would want to be treated. When broken, it is rewritten to read, today we will bury our dead, tomorrow we will bury you. You pray for calm. You pray for peace. I pray for karma.
That's Mark Gonzalez, a spoken word activist, human rights activist, innovative educator. Mark Gonzalez, how can people who are listening in their car or at home find you?
In the virtual world, Twitter, Facebook. You can Google the Human Rights Project. It's WRITES, like a writer. Creative Approaches to Cultivating Human Rights by Architecting Imagination. Twitter and Facebook, just go to Mark Gonzalez is last name G-O-N, it's in Nancy, Z-A-L-E-S is in Sam, and then I-S after that. And just put it in there. Just like meeting people. So it's always beautiful building with people across continents. So just reach out.
Well, Mark Gonzalez, thanks so much. It's been a real pleasure having you here.
Blessing. Thank you for having me.
Today's program is available online at progressive.org. You can also write to us at 409 East Main Street, Madison, Wisconsin, 53703. Our music is by MUFA. Progressive Radio is produced by Elizabeth DiNovella and engineered at Audio for the Arts in Madison, Wisconsin.